Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I am very lucky today to be sitting with Megan Pietrantonio, who is the Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Truist Foundation. Megan, did I get it right? Did I mess it up?
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I hope you're having a good day.
It's been really good. Thank you.
Excellent. What does it mean to be the Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Truist Foundation?
Thank you for asking. The Truist Foundation was established in December of 2019 following the merger of SunTrust Bank and BB&T, which came together to form Truist. The foundation was established to support, our mission statement is to inspire and build better lives and communities. And as the Director of Strategic Initiatives, I look for opportunities for the Truist Foundation to partner with nonprofits that are impacting multiple regions where the bank operates. And we look for partners that are strategically positioned to support our communities in four areas. The first is educational equity, making sure that all of our students have an equal opportunity to access quality education, leadership development. So looking for opportunities for nonprofit leaders to really be able to advance in their careers and also for students to have mentorship opportunities. Thriving communities, which we understand each community will thrive based on different criteria. So that includes everything from affordable housing to a strong cultural community, allowing for creative and innovative experiences and living. And finally, economic mobility. So really looking for opportunities, whether that be through supporting entrepreneurs, small businesses that are owned by minorities or women, and also workforce development for individuals to advance in their careers and also to help their families to thrive and to do better where they are. So I look for opportunities kind of at the national level that will maybe be implemented or activated at the local level. And in some cases, we work with national organizations that really need funding to do more research or deeper dive into understanding the persistent problems that our communities are facing.
Right. So a lot of it is actual pure startup research and not necessarily the intervention portion, right? But the preliminary fact-finding steps, right?
That's right. Our grant making, we do look at supporting communities in the short term, and kind of the medium term, which we kind of consider more of the 3 to 5, but also looking at opportunities to support grantees in a longer term way, and positioning ourselves to help advance an ecosystem that is moving our communities, our most vulnerable and marginalized communities forward.
It's a nice set of foci, and certainly I'm sure there's no shortage of work that needs to get done in those areas. How has what's been crossing your desk lately changed as a result of pandemic?
Yes, so I think similar to many others, we are experiencing significant need, unlike what we have seen in recent years, across many of the sectors and many of the grantees that were supported previously by Heritage BB&T and Heritage SunTrust, and also grantees that we've been in conversation with as potential grantees for the Truist Foundation. What we realized upon learning about the initial impact of this pandemic is that our communities need our support right away. So while the Truist Foundation was established to make grants with a stewardship period in place, we realized that the grantees really needed support right now without any conditions. So we launched in mid-March the Truist Cares Initiative to impact 5 areas of our community: seniors, youth, workforce, small business, and then a special focus on connectivity. The connectivity piece is special to SunTrust or to Truist because that is part of our DNA and part of our values is technology, trust, and touch. And so we really wanted to look at how, again, our vulnerable and marginalized communities are suffering due to the digital divide, which is especially highlighted in the Southeast where our footprint kind of overlaps. So with Truist Cares, we came together, the Truist Foundation alongside the Truist Charitable Fund, as well as the bank to support our communities with a $25 million pledge. I'm very excited. Our process was data-driven and equitable. We had an open call for submissions from our communities, and we received more than 1,500 applications. Due to the limited dollars, we weren't able to support all of them, but I'm very excited that we were able to support 253 nonprofit organizations, and we deployed that money in 22 days, which is pretty incredible for the kind of work that we're doing, and again, with a goal of getting the money out to the communities. Mickey, yeah. our time today is it's very timely. Yesterday, Truist announced a second commitment of $25 million as a part of the Truist Cares initiative. And in this initiative, we're really looking to support the rebuilding of our communities and supporting their recovery to come back even stronger. What we've learned is the, you know, information changes by the moment. And so what we're trying to do is to respond to what we've heard is a part of our community that's suffering even more than kind of the general community. And in the Southeast, what that looks like is our rural communities and our inner cities. So with this next phase of $25 million, we are specifically targeting supporting small businesses, both in rural communities as well as inner city that are owned by minorities and women. And we're doing that through supporting CDFIs, the grant pool, so that these businesses can have access to capital and also technical assistance and support. So really helping that entire small business ecosystem. And secondarily, with this $25 million, we're supporting connectivity in the digital divide in our rural communities, getting access to technology, both the hardware, the devices, the software, the applications, as well as the infrastructure to access broadband and be able to pay for it as well. So we're really excited about that initiative that has just been kicked off yesterday.
I think my jaw must have hit the ground about six times in the last minute. I'm like, holy mackerel, that many organizations and that much help is being given. That's just amazing. That's Are there any projects among those that stand out to you as examples of the kinds of things you like to see and do?
Yes, we are. Part of my job is looking for national partners, and I'm excited that with our focus on small business, our focus on technical assistance, and again, in rural communities, we're partnering with LISC. And LISC has a presence both at the national level to really impact policy and to help support kind of overall the ecosystem that lifts up marginalized communities, but they're also on the ground. So they have local nonprofit partners that they work with to deliver technical assistance, both in rural as well as inner city communities. And we're partnering with them to deploy a $2.5 million grant pool to our small businesses that have possibly been left behind or have not had access to capital to help them survive during this pandemic.
Just amazing. There's a lot that I want to ask you, but I wanted to ask first, there's a ton of uncertainty amongst nonprofit management in general these days. And I'm sure you guys are also experiencing the same level of uncertainty. How are you navigating that? And how are you communicating with other nonprofits that may also share that confusion and that, frankly, anxiety?
Yes, absolutely. We're looking for opportunities to have conversations and dialogue with our nonprofit partners. There may have been historically a bit of a power dynamic between funders and grantees. And in this time of crisis, we are we need our nonprofit partners to tell us what they need more than ever. So I really, my goal for the Truist Foundation is to help our staff to really break down that you know, power dynamic that may have existed before, to have honest, authentic conversations about what's needed right now in our communities, for our nonprofits, and for those ecosystems that support the most vulnerable in our communities. So we're hoping, and we're really trying. Time is, of course, always a factor that we have to work with and around, but just to have those one-on-one conversations. And I really encourage all nonprofits to reach out to your funders right now. We're all in this together. We're all learning together. And the rapid fire with which we are receiving information, reacting to information, and creating solutions for our communities, I don't think is going to change anytime soon. So when we're all working together and sharing that information, I feel like we can step into the right direction together and to really, again, support our communities that are in need.
Mm-hmm. So Truist Foundation, is that the correct name of the foundation?
Yes.
The Truist Foundation, clearly a lot of outreach, clearly a wide slate of activities, and I really appreciate hearing from you. I mean, that you're right. There has been, at least in the past, a power differential, and that power differential has made Simply Called my funders sort of difficult to do. What advice would you have for nonprofits to facilitate those phone calls and make it a little easier just to get over that hump of, am I allowed to call my grantor or not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think definitely pick up the phone, but I can't guarantee a call back, just again because of the limited hours per day. But certainly reaching out to your funders via email, making sure that through your social channels, you're being authentic about the need of your nonprofit organization. As a funder, we want nothing more than to see our partners really get through this crisis and thrive on the other side. And we won't know that it's hard for you or that there's a chance that you won't be here when we get out of this crisis unless you tell us. So it's critical that you use all channels of communication to get that message to your funder. And the more personalized you can make it, the better. But I understand that takes time for the nonprofit, and that takes time away from your services in the community. So I don't want to in any way suggest that you should, you know, do that all of the time. But if you can, you know, the personal touches, or if there's a board member who has a connection, just to be persistent, because I think it will be really important to the longer term survival. And also some of the innovative solutions that come out of this pandemic will be through the conversations, the honest and authentic conversations of funders and nonprofits together.
Right, right. I know that these days, in terms of pandemic responses, we're always talking about the pivot. People in nonprofits need to pivot in the way they provide their mission-directed activities, or, you know, take a look at their strategies. Can you comment on any dramatic case? Well, I shouldn't say dramatic cases. Can you comment on any solid cases that you've seen where a nonprofit has pivoted well in response to pandemic?
Thank you for the question. I'm trying to think a little bit. One thing that I've heard over and over is this pandemic is accelerating what we already knew was the direction that we were going in, and has really spotlighted for us the future for nonprofit organizations, for funders, for communities. And insofar as the Truist Cares initiative to impact small businesses and the digital divide, what we're seeing is that nonprofit organizations are having to digitize and move to the cloud, because that was happening anyway. You know, some of the office solutions that were currently being used by nonprofits had a time horizon of in 3 years or so. So the pivot is maybe more the acceleration of what we already knew was going to happen. And I do think that in our community, some of the most successful pivots that we've seen is by organizations not trying to fight that, especially with moving services virtually, whether that's through one-to-one counseling sessions for some of our organizations that maybe provide mental health counseling for vulnerable communities, through telemedicine, through virtual experiences for arts and cultural organizations. These are all things that I know would have come. It's just the time frame has shrunken and it's a demand now rather than in 3 years from now. So the planning for this is really where the pivot has taken shape and is being accelerated.
Yeah, it's weird how everybody's pace of life has sort of slowed down, but a lot of strategic initiatives have sort of sped up.
Yes, I love how you said that. Absolutely.
Megan, this has been great. I can't thank you enough. Are there any final words of wisdom or advice for nonprofit listeners?
Mickey, thank you so much to you and to all of your listeners for what you're doing in the communities. We absolutely could not be doing this without you. And every day we're grateful for your persistence and for your continued passion for serving those that are most in need right now.
Megan, if it were appropriate and if a listener wanted to be in touch with you, how would you prefer they get in contact with you?
The best way to be in touch is to first check the Truist.com webpage for the details about our grant funding. The Truist Cares program and our second pledge of $25 million is not able to open up an application for submissions. However, year-round, we accept online applications from nonprofit organizations that fit the guidelines that are listed on our website. That's the first place to go. But if there's any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me directly at my email.
Thank you, Megan. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to make this recording today.
Thank you, Mickey. I really enjoyed it.
To our listeners, thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Snapcast. We value your input and suggestions for future topics and future guests. Please visit me at nonprofitsnapcast.org, where you'll find a place to drop us a line with those ideas and suggestions. In the meantime, we hope you're all staying safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you with another episode here in a few days. Thank you.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.